Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we are going to be talking about, well, UFOs. Why? Well, it's a subject matter that, unlike what was described so many, many years ago as, oh, this is nonsensical, this is just absolutely ridiculous, not anymore. There's too much evidence, too much documentation by people that have paid attention to what's been going on. And my guest today, Preston Dennett, is a man that this is especially an interest of, and he has written a wonderful book, UFOs Over New York. And this is his true history of extraterrestrial encounters in the Big Apple, actually in the Empire State. Preston, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, this is a subject matter that I find very, very interesting, and there is so much documented evidence, and there's just people that I've known through the years that have had their own particular encounters, and I want people to know about you. You began your own personal investigation of UFOs and the paranormal in 1986. And the reason was there were so many people around you that were having very, very unexplainable experiences. You have been a field investigator for the Mutual UFO Network, which is called MUFON. You've been a ghost hunter. You've been a researcher into the paranormal. You've written a lot of books and articles on what we've just mentioned. And you have had your work translated into a number of different languages, including German, Portuguese, Chinese, and Icelandic. You have also taught classes. And this, to me, is so interesting because this has spanned so many years. And sometimes when people begin with an interest, after a while they'll say, well, that's enough of that, and they'll move on. But that's not the case with you. Now, why is it that New York, as a state, has had so much more in the way of these happenings? Tell us about how you found out about that it was one of the hottest spots on the planet for this.
Right. Well, you know, earlier I had written a book, UFOs Over California, because California is actually the leading state in terms of a number of UFO reports. It has at least 6,000 recorded encounters.
Oh, that's California. So California's number one, not New York.
No, but New York's not far behind. It's actually fifth in terms of all of the other states. So it does have an enormous number of encounters. And I think it was the Hudson Valley UFO wave that really got me interested in UFO activity in that area. And the Hudson Valley UFO wave, which occurred, let me see, in 1984, about around there, that is considered by Omni magazine, actually, to be the single number one biggest UFO encounter in the United States. And so it's a very active area for whatever reason. But you know, Donna, I have to tell you, every state that I've looked into has a history of encounters stretching back a good 100 years. And that's true for New York. So UFOs have been around an awfully long time, and I think it's time that we start really taking this subject seriously.
Well, one of the events that you mention in your book occurred in 1999, and that was an experience by Bud Hopkins when he talked about the Brooklyn Bridge abduction, where it was observed by different people. Tell us about that particular abduction in 1999.
Right, yeah, that was on November 30th, 1989, actually, and is a very unusual case. It's kind of an outlying case, if you know what I mean, because there are probably thousands of abductions on record, and some UFO researchers think that there's millions, and I'm one of them. I think this is much more common than people realize. But almost all these cases don't really have outside witnesses. There's maybe a half dozen that do. And this is why the Brooklyn Bridge abduction case is so interesting, because this one doesn't have one or two or three outside witnesses. It has literally dozens of people who witnessed this abduction take place on an apartment building just it's in the heart of New York City. You can see this building from the Brooklyn Bridge, and that's how it got its name, because there were a number of witnesses who were on the bridge and actually saw this lady be pulled out of her apartment. There was a very large red glowing object hovering next to the building, and it pulled her inside. And a lot of people were watching this thinking, is this a movie? What is going on? And they observed this. And Bud Hopkins, he was actually in contact with the lady who's Linda Napolitano is the pseudonym he used. And she told him about it. And over the next few weeks and months, he started to receive a number of letters from other people who had actually witnessed this. So it's a very unusual case. I consider it one of the top 10 New York cases, at least in terms of, you know, publicity and how influential it is. And apparently there's quite a number of other witnesses, you know, still coming forth. So
all
whatever
right.
this was, I think it was a demonstration.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. You know, UFOs are generally very elusive, I guess, evasive, but they're also kind of put on displays. And I think that's what this was. I'm not exactly sure why. But
well, that's a fairly recent one. Let's go back a little bit in history. And one of the biggest events. Now, you go back as far back as into the 1800s.
Right.
And this is fascinating to me because a lot of things were documented, including a mysterious airship wave between 1896 and 1897. And in the observation of many individuals, a lot of this activity seems to come forth when there is a tremendous upset occurring somewhere. And whether it is the danger of war, whether it is something else, you know, it's just very interesting how they will be observed. And, of course, this has become so much more common, especially since people have gotten video cameras. And
right.
I know there's the fraud, but there's so much of it that it's not fraud, and they've been able to discern that. But here are these people that, with their own home video cameras, are capturing things moving in broad daylight.
Oh, yeah. I think the evidence is overwhelming. I think it's conclusive at this point.
And that's why I'm saying it's... Your material is so interesting, but you singled out New York. Going into the 1800s, you go back there. So for anyone who's listening, if you are really a person that wants to go into history and find documentation, then I think that Preston's book is really interesting. Now, 1947 was a significant year. That was when an event occurred over Mount Rainier, right here in the state of Washington, where I am. And there were 9 discs that were seen by a pilot. And that really, because he went public with it, it was Kenneth Arnold. Then also in 1947, there were discs seen over New York. So it wasn't just in the state of Washington. It was also in New York, and it was a headline in the New York Times.
Right. You know, 1947, that's when they arrived en masse. That's considered the beginning of the modern age of UFOs. And I don't think it's any coincidence that it coincides pretty much exactly with the atomic age. So a lot of UFO researchers have noticed that. I think the UFOs somehow became aware that we were messing around with atomic weapons, and that's what attracted them to us, at least in large numbers. And let me tell you, 1947 was a huge wave of sightings. I don't think we've seen anything quite like that since. And they covered across the United States. Kenneth Arnold was just the first, his sighting was just the first publicized sighting. But they were seen all across the United States and as well as New York, like on July 8th, 1947. This is when a bunch of people in New York City saw these objects. And again, these objects are coming down right over, you know, heavily urbanized areas. I think there's a misconception that UFOs are seen only in, you know, rural areas, into some farmer somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But But that's not the case. Actually, I'd say the majority of sightings take place over suburbs, and then 25% over very rural areas, and the rest over very urbanized areas. And yeah, New York, for whatever reason, I think that's what makes the sightings of New York different from a lot of other areas, is these discs, these craft are coming right down over the city, hovering over Central Park, chasing cars down busy highways. They're not afraid of being seen, not in New York.
New York is so busy with lights, I'm amazed they could notice anything. I mean, when you're around Times Square, you can't see anything but lights. So they fit right in, as far as I'm concerned. You wouldn't even pay attention to them. But there are so many areas of the state of New York, like Schenectady, that they had sightings there. There was a couple fishing in Bush Pine Reservoir, New York City, and they saw something floating right again up above the water where they were, and then it just zipped off and left. But you have so many cases that involve independent witnesses, that involve pilots. And I can remember as a little girl reading, and I was living, and my family lived in California at the time, reading in the Examiner newspaper in their magazine section, two pilots. And that was the first time I ever heard it, and I was very small. But the two pilots were talking about their UFO encounters, and they watched and described what went on in front of them. So I'm not sure when that was, but it was written up in the Examiner in California, and it's really quite fascinating. Now, you talk about in New York in the 60s that there was a New York blackout, and you thought that that was due to the UFOs. Why?
I'm certain it was. That was in 1965, and this is, in fact, one of the biggest blackouts in United States history. It was on November 9th, 1965, and on that night, right before this blackout occurred, 50 or 100 people or more reported seeing lights, discs, objects, multiple objects, all across New York State, and New York City especially. And this blackout was eventually traced to the Sir Adam Beck plant, number 2 in Clay, New York, which allegedly, you know, some power trippers failed, and it set off a domino effect. However, there's a lot of evidence that these UFOs were responsible, not only because there so many were seen hovering over not only the power plant itself, but that area. But there was another case, an actor, Stuart Whitman. He was in his New York hotel room when one of these UFOs was hovering right outside his window, woke him up, and started talking to him, telepathically, apparently, and told him that they were concerned about our continued use of uncontrolled nuclear weapons, about the chaos and lack of morality in existence on our planet. And they told him that they would interfere if we got too far in our warlike ways. And they claim that they are able to stop all electrical apparatuses from functioning and could put a halt to our activities anytime they wanted to. And they told him to spread the word about this, and it was basically, as I said, a demonstration of their abilities. And, you know, this is one of the first, I mean, the really first big UFO-caused blackout. But following that, there were a number of these across the United States. And this case, you know, actually caused some concern on very high levels and was eventually reported to Congress in the congressional hearings on UFOs. That was 3 years later. So,
what was the result of those hearings?
Unfortunately, not a whole lot. Basically, the scientist, James McDonald, who was one of the first mainstream scientists to look into the UFO phenomena, he testified about it, and Congressman William Ryan asked McDonald if any agency, any official agency, had investigated this New York blackout in relation to UFOs. And McDonald replied, no, none at all. There is no one looking at this relationship between UFOs and outages. And Congressman Ryan replied, I have one final question. Do you think it is imperative that the Federal Power Commission, or the FCC, investigate the relationship between sightings and blackouts. And McDonald said, my position would call for a somewhat weaker adjective. I'd say extremely desirable, which is funny to me, but no, nothing was ever done. So at least not officially. I'm sure, you know, that unofficially, our government is definitely looking into these kinds of cases.
Oh, I think so. I think there's a lot that's checked out. What about the Men in Black? You know, we've had the couple of movies that have been put out with Tommy Jones and Will, and they're absolutely hysterical. But there are the Men in Black. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Men in Black, it's a curious phenomenon. I think it puzzles a lot of UFO researchers, including myself, because these Men in Black appear to be largely human-looking, and yet they behave in very odd ways. They've got very white, pasty skin. They wear dark clothes, dark suits, drive black Cadillacs, typically, and they show up to witnesses and confront witnesses after a UFO encounter, and particularly one which involves physical evidence of some sort, be it landing traces or photographs, more often photographs. And they threaten the witness, basically telling them not to publicly reveal their sightings, not to talk about it. And I think UFO researchers are kind of uncertain whether these are ETs or whether they are government officials of some sort. My feeling is that there's both, and they've been kind of lumped into the same category, and they shouldn't be, because we do have these government goons who are basically trying to cover up this phenomena. But at the same time, these Men in Black, who I think are ETs, are also trying to cover this up. So we have a kind of a triple cover-up, as a Jacques Vallée, he's a researcher who pointed this out. Not only are the ETs very elusive, the government is trying to cover up. The witnesses themselves don't talk about this stuff. So it's kind of a triple cover-up. It's amazing that any of this information is coming out. But yeah, the Men in Black, it's weird. I don't know quite what to make of it.
You talk about May 4th, 1997, and it's about the Air Force, and you say there is a man, Andrew Pavesino, and his girlfriend, who used binoculars to observe three metallic UFOs that were hovering at an estimated altitude of 30,000 feet over Nassau, New York. And then you said, after they disappeared, now there were two F-16 Air Force jets that came in to approach the objects from the southwest. They disappeared. The UFOs disappeared. The jets flew away. And then 15 minutes later, there were two unmarked black helicopters in the air. And the helicopters released a large quantity of white balloons in three separate groups. Tell us about that case, because it's documented. There were a number of witnesses to this.
Yeah, you know, this is really bizarre, because it's hard to say what the Air Force is doing in this case, but, you know, I'm speculating at this point, but it appears to me that they released those balloons in order to confuse the witnesses or reports that would come in, so that they can say, well, there was a bunch of balloons in the sky at that time, when witnesses start saying that they saw UFOs. And this seems to be a common tactic that the Air Force will use in order to discredit witnesses. They're still actively covering up encounters, as evidenced, I think, by the recent case in Stephenville, Texas, in which there was a bunch of sightings, and the Air Force said that they had jets in the area, and then they denied it, and then they said it was them, and then they denied it again, and did actually threaten witnesses. So, yeah, this is still being covered up, and they use various tactics to do it. And that is one of them. They're releasing balloons. You know, it's hard to say. That was on May 4th, 1997. And these objects that the witnesses saw were clearly metallic objects. I mean, they observed them through binoculars. So, you know, the term UFO is misleading, because it says it's an unidentified flying object. I think we've identified what these are. I am a person who is convinced that they are extraterrestrial in their craft. And that's what we have to start calling them.
Well, it's always fun talking about a subject like this at Halloween, because if you're in New York, you see everything in New York. I mean, this is just amazing. You have a story in here about an alien at Penn Station. And before we get into that, telepathy is something that many different people have experienced in interaction with what we would call aliens or whatever term you want to use. But at Penn Station, there was a particular figure that was seen, and this was in 1999.
Right. Not too long ago. This is one of those weird things about the New York in particular. I mean, there are cases in the UFO literature, and which are increasing a lot in number, actually, in which people claim to have seen ETs in places you would not expect, in public places, restaurants, hotels, bookstores, you name it. And New York has more of these kinds of cases than any other area that I know of. And this is one of them. October 1st, 1999, an anonymous witness was ascending the escalator at Penn Station and saw what appeared to be a male figure, except he was very tall, at least 6 feet 7 inches tall, and he was standing at the mouth of the entranceway to the station. And nobody seemed to notice him. They kind of just ignored him as if he wasn't there. But she saw him, and she caught a glimpse of his face and his eyes, and became instantly terrified because he did not look human. He did not appear to be human. His eyes, she said, looked right through her. She said it was as if he was telepathically communicating with her because he looked at her and kind of glared at her. And she got this feeling like she should keep walking. Don't stop. Don't look. This does not concern you. But she says his face was a very light gray, almost white, and he had very brown, menacing eyes. But what really caught her attention most was the way he was standing with his back arched and his elbows kind of pointed towards his back and his head tilted down as if he was scoping out the witnesses. And she's convinced he was an ET. I know there's a lot of strange-looking people in New York, and if this were, you know, a unique case, I would say, okay, fine. But it's not alone. It doesn't stand alone. There's like another case, a lady was on the subway. This is so bizarre. This lady has a history of UFO encounters, and she was on a crowded subway. When looking ahead of her through the crowd, she saw a very short figure, and it had a large head. It was bald, large dark eyes. But what really caught her attention was the texture of its skin, and she said it appeared to be almost like plastic. Now, this is something I've heard from other witnesses, and she was convinced that this was some sort of ET. I mean, she's seen them before, and she rushed forward to look at it, and she lost it in the crowd, so she was not able to catch up to it. But it's just one of at least a dozen cases like that in which aliens are seen in places you would not expect. And, you know, Donna, I think that any UFO researcher will tell you there is really no place you can hide from these ETs if they want to get to you. People have been abducted in the most unlikely places. I mean, I've talked to witnesses who were abducted out of the Marriott Hotel, out of their crowded condo in a very dense suburb. So these ETs do have kind of free rein, especially because we're officially so skeptical of them that we don't really take a lot of action when these things are seen. So,
excuse me for interrupting you.
No, that's right. I was just going to wrap it up saying, yeah, they can be seen anywhere.
You have a chapter called Celebrity Encounters, and I'm just going to read a few of the names. Neil Sedaka, Muhammad Ali, Mel Torme, punk rocker Helen Wheels, Jimi Hendrix, John Lennon. These are people that are very much in the forefront, and Neil Sedaka, he really didn't want to even discuss this, but he saw a UFO, he and his son, and he said, some people are still prone to laugh, though the number of skeptics is getting to be fewer and fewer in number. Muhammad Ali says that he has seen a number of them, And he's seen them in the early morning hours when he's been out jogging. He's had a number of things. Now, Mel Torme, he was so very, very famous, and he said that he stepped out. And this is all in New York. And then with Helen, she said she actually saw the inside of a UFO and saw a number of different sized crafts. And she said it was just amazing, absolutely amazing. And Jimi Hendrix and Curtis Knight and other band members, they thought they were in danger, but they saw an object that was cone-shaped like a space capsule land in the snow in front of their car. So there was more than one that saw it simultaneously.
Right.
And John Lennon, he said, okay, there's UFOs over New York, and I ain't too surprised. Nobody told me there'd be days like this. Strange days, most peculiar. This must have been absolutely fascinating for you to pull all of this together. And there's so much material on the Internet and bookstores today where, let's say, 20 years ago, people were even afraid to mention a UFO. But now, there are so many people that have been experiencing this, and they've come forward, they've talked about all of this information. Where do you think this is going? I mean, you talk about one person who said that they were told telepathically that there was a lot happening with global warming, that we had to pay attention, there were going to be some very serious situations regarding Earth herself and the way things were going to be going.
Right.
How has this influenced your life, Preston?
Oh, tremendously. Each time, now that's a very common theme, this upcoming environmental disasters. And I've interviewed in the past 2 years an additional, 50 people who've claimed to have been taken on board these craft. And that, I hear that every time, not every time, but so often that each time I finish the interview, I honestly have to sit down and meditate for a little bit. Because it's a little disconcerting, to say the least, that so many people from such widely separated areas are saying the same thing. And it's definitely convinced me that we are in for some very hectic times upcoming. And it's had a very strong influence on my life, definitely. That's why I'm still doing this stuff. I'm convinced that not only that UFOs are real, not only that they're not going away, but that their presence is going to become, you know, increasingly obvious. I think there's an escalation of contact taking place, and we're looking towards an inevitable open official contact at some point. I think UFOs are going to show up over a major city like New York, you know, like Los Angeles, and just not go away. I think that we've seen a lot of this already happening. I mean, there's the Hudson Valley wave, one of the biggest UFO waves in history, Gulf Breeze wave, the Topanga Canyon UFO wave. These UFOs are putting on what amounts to a publicity campaign and pretty much showing themselves as much to the point where, you know, we could still deny their existence, but I don't know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. They're showing themselves only up to a point where they don't cause too much, I think, disturbance in our society. But eventually, yeah, we're going to... This subject is going to be taken a lot more seriously. The proof is already in the public arena. And privately, I think our government does have crashed UFOs. There's 5 cases of crashed UFOs in New York State alone. And a lot of states, and it's not just Roswell, that has had a UFO crash. UFO crashes are a lot more common than people realize. So the proof is there, and it will come out. The cover-up is in place, but it's a disastrous failure. It's leaking like a sieve. There are so many people coming forth now, so we're in for some very exciting times. It's a great time to be a UFO researcher because we're
absolutely
going to see a
Preston,
lot of changes.
We are just about out of time, so I want people to know that you have a website. Also, I'd like you to know if you're interested in UFOs, Preston's material, there's ways of documenting it, so you can just go ahead and check it out. But he also talks about a special event called Montauk, M-O-N-T-A-U-K. Now, this is extremely unusual, but it's in his book. I think you'll find it fascinating reading. Preston Dennett has been my guest. His website is PrestonDennett.com, and that's P-R-E-S-T-O-N, D like Donald, E-N-N like Nelly, E-T-T like Tom.com. Preston, it's been absolutely a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much. Keep up your good work, and let me know if you discover anything else that's of interest.
I sure will. Thank you, Donna. It's been a blast.
This is Donna Sebo, Preston Dennett, my guest. Again, PrestonDennett.com. UFOs over New York, a true history of extraterrestrial encounters in the Empire State. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious foods? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, the telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And if you're a first-time listener to the show, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you would like to call in and let me give you an intuitive reading to light up your life with a little bit of insight, I'd be delighted to do it. It's very simple. Just call in to one of the telephone numbers that I gave, and I just want your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question. After I give you my insights, you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you're interested in finding out about. Animal, vegetable, mineral, it doesn't make any difference. I'm an information resource, and I'm delighted to share my skills with you. So again, 877-876-5227, Canadian, 888-815-9756, and 530-876-3222. Those lines are now open for you. Oh, my goodness, do you know what the happiest people do with their money? Well, after this caller, I'll tell you all about it. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and what are you? Where are you calling from?
My first initial is L. and I'm calling from Michigan.
Where in Michigan?
Farmington Hills.
Farmington Hills. All right. Let's go for it then, Elle. What I am looking at with you is prioritize and organize. The reason I'm suggesting this to you is that though you may have a little bit of a light period, and I know we're going to be evolving into the holiday scene pretty soon, but regardless of that, there is a lot of work that is coming up to you. It's as if I'm seeing this huge truck unloading all kinds of materials, and you're just saying, can't you wait till next week? I'd really appreciate it if you put this off for a while, but that's not the way it's going to be. Lots of work, lots of action, lots of attention to detail is going to be required between now and actually the 6th of June, and it's really going to start building up momentum and intensity starting about the 3rd of January. So you've got an opportunity here to prioritize and organize so that you're not going to feel overwhelmed, which I wouldn't be surprised at all with that kind of a feeling coming in. So you're just going to need to take a little step at a time. Just keep your focus and do what you need to do one step at a time. It's like dealing with clutter, one piece of something at a time. And just be methodical with it. You're also going to find that you must be very aware of how people eat into your time. And you will need to say no to some situations and to some individuals. And there's a way of doing it graciously and smoothly, and then just keep on keeping on. You have some objectives for yourself physically, which I think are excellent, and the same format would apply to that. Just keep it one step at a time, one day at a time, and you're going to be amazed at how you are going to be able to prioritize and organize and get things done. Other people would just sit in amazement after they find what you've accomplished. They'll say, I just don't know how you did it. You're going to say, I honestly didn't know how I could do it either, but I just had to put the blinders on and had to really focus. Now, travel is going to be very important to you. You're going to have opportunities to go to different areas and interact with people that are going to be new in your environment and experience, and it's as if they're just opening up the world for you. So you have gone through some challenging times, but through those challenges, you have lowered a lot of what I'd call emotional walls. And you don't have the fear about life as you used to have, or apprehensions. You have just this wonderful demeanor that I think is getting stronger and stronger about who you are, what you want to do, how you want to accomplish things. And you're not really too concerned about what the world, people around you, might think. You're doing what is right for you. And I want to congratulate you, because a lot of people never, ever reach that point. And you are there, and you're going to be moving forward. So your dreams, your aspirations, they're closer than you think. It's going to be a lot of hard work, but you will attain what you desire mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. What is it you'd like to ask me, Elle?
Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because that covers a lot right there. That's wonderful. Well, I was thinking about somebody, and I haven't heard from them for a while, and their initial is a P, as a gentleman, and I wondered if you thought I'd be hearing from them.
No, E is going through a lot of emotional turbulence. E is a person that goes into
it's
a
P.
shell.
I'm sorry, it's P like in Peter
Doesn't
Pan.
Make any difference.
Okay.
He is an individual that is in an emotional shell.
Okay.
And when he's in this shell, he's there because he feels safe. It's a habit that he cultivated from the time he was a little boy. So it is something I wouldn't be too anxious about. I would just hold very good thoughts for him and wish him well. I don't know that you're going to be hearing from him anytime soon. I think eventually you will, and it'll surprise you. It'll really surprise you when you do. However, there is, I'll say, no substance there. And I'm not saying it to be derogatory towards the individual. I just think that this person has to follow this patterning because of their belief system. and they feel safer that way. And it's not just with you. It's with most of the people they encounter.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling in. How'd you learn about the show?
Oh, I've listened to you a couple times, and I saw it online, and I said, I got to listen to this lady. So I'm glad I did.
Well, I'm so appreciative of that. How'd you like the stories about the UFOs?
They're cool.
Aren't they great? Perfect for the Halloween season. I just think they're absolutely marvelous.
Yeah.
But there are so many things that go on that we don't understand. And I really think that there's more here than what meets the eye. And his reporting is quite good. It's very good and backed up with documentation.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, hon. Have a great day.
You also.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. Hey, you can call in. It's that simple. It's no big deal. We have good times on this show. 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756, and also 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. And again, all I need is a first name or initial. And people have said, Donna, why do you do it that way? Well, the reason I do what I do in the way that I do is that it's important for me to be able, in my personal positioning and professional positioning, to be able to show that there's no games, no gimmicks, I don't need any tools. This is a mental discipline, and it's something I've cultivated for so many years. So you're invited to participate in this, and that's why I don't want any information from you, other than I'd love to know where you are in the country. Hi, we've got our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My initial is N, and I'm calling from New Jersey.
Where in New Jersey, dear?
Denville.
Denville?
Denville, yes, close to Morristown.
Well,
Northern New Jersey
is probably spectacular with the changing of the leaves right now.
Gorgeous.
Oh, the East Coast is just incredible. I recommend any of the listeners, if ever you have a chance to go traveling on the East Coast during this time of the year, your eyes will have a feast of color that they'll just rejoice over. It's just gorgeous.
It's breathtaking. It truly is.
It is. Okay, and what I'm looking at with you right off the bat is I want you to stop weeping over the past. I'm getting a sense of tears around the heart, and I'm looking at you just so sensitive to other people. You have mediumship talent, and I would say it's on various levels. And if you're not careful, if you sympathize too much with a person, you actually absorb what's going on with them, and then it becomes a part of your experience, which I don't think is particularly healthy. It's good to empathize, but not sympathize. And when I'm watching you in my mind, I'm looking at you feeling as if you are at a standstill. You're sort of turning around, looking, wanting to explore, but feel like you've sort of gotten stuck, that you just are not able to really move forward and make any changes as perhaps you would like to do. All I ask you to do is be patient, because what's happening right now to you, this feeling of being stuck, is important so that you will explore, so that you will read, so that you will ask questions, so that you will open yourself up to some new paradigms. Doesn't mean you become a garbage dump of the universe for everybody's stuff. It means that you are discriminating, but you are open and receptive to new ideas, new concepts, and are willing to explore, examine, and take what is good for you and to let the rest of it go. This is a very important period. I'd say actually the remaining part of this year, the full year of 2009, as well as the first quarter of 2010. This is an exploratory period. This is a time. If you wanted to get into classes of any kind, do it. If you wanted to do anything that allows you to, again, investigate, keep an open mind. Don't be, again, a garbage dump. That's the third time I've said that, but it's very important to remember it and understand that you are coming into a sense of your own intuitive talents, how you can use them, and how they can serve you and can serve others. So this is a process. You've gone through a lot in the past year and a half, actually the last 10 years, but just in the last year and a half especially, it's been quite intense. Now, I need to ask you, Ann, we've got to take a break. Will you stay on the line with me?
I would be glad to.
All right, Ann, we're going to be taking a break. We'll be coming back to her. And, hey, you can call in, too, if you want, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. To Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Before I go back to Ann, I want to mention tomorrow we're going to be talking about some pretty special gals. These are the pioneers that created their own frontier, women intellectuals that revisioned the American West. You're not going to want to miss this. And we've got a great lineup for next week. And I know Halloween's just around the corner, but that's okay. We're going to have some good times with it. Now, let's go back to Ann. And Ann, what was your question for me today?
Is there anything I can do, well, because you mentioned intuition, to help that grow, and is there anything I can do to help prepare for the coming changes to keep my family safe as well as myself?
Well, first of all, you need to know your family's going to be fine, and you're going to be fine.
Wonderful.
So there, you need to know that, and I'm not saying it just to placate you. I am saying it because you need to put in the forefront of your mind that your awareness of your intuitive skills is going to need to be cultivated without fear. And that's so important. There are too many people in this world that capitalize on fear. I don't want you to go there. And in the development and progression of your skills and abilities, what you want to do is become aware of individuals that you would have respect for because they have clarity, they have a good reputation, and they have integrity. And you want to have contact with those people as teachers. And I use the plural because it has been my experience and it has been my observation that the teachers are not just in one form. They're going to come in multiple forms. Sometimes it's through a book, sometimes it's through something you'll see on television. It could be someone standing in the line at the grocery store. It could be a teacher actually teaching a class. The key is that you must find what works for you. And this is a challenge because we often want to make someone an ideal. And I don't blame anybody for doing that. I've done the same thing. What must be really, though, present in your understanding is that any teacher that is a good teacher will always want their students to surpass them in their capabilities. So you want to be around those people, depending on what their skills may be, those people you want to interact with that you feel you can trust, that you have learned about through someone, could be your next-door neighbor. That's how I found my mentor. and one of my many mentors, the very first one, really. But I found there were many mentors. And so as you grow and as you develop your skills, and it takes practice, you want to find those environments that are going to be a safe harbor until you develop the level of confidence that allows you to use your skills easily where you don't even think twice about them. Does that help you?
That is wonderful. Oh, thank you so very, very much.
But don't be afraid to question. Let me share something with you quickly.
Okay.
When I first started into this work, the psychic fairs were just beginning, and I was in California. And I can remember being invited to participate in them and being so excited about being in it. And I can remember doing readings for people. And I often question my own capabilities, which is not unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And there came a point where there was this woman that came in to see me, and this event just had all kinds of things going on. And she got up after I finished, and she was an odd duck. I mean, she looked like something out of a Hollywood horror movie.
Oh, my.
She was really an odd duck. But I had learned early on that you just don't make judgments about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman got up, and she walked to the side and announced publicly to everyone within hearing distance, this woman is real. She is not a fake. And if you're going to see anybody, come and see this young woman. I was stunned.
Wow.
And it is amazing how when you are okay with putting yourself, and I was a student. I was just, I had no idea that one day I'd be able to be on radio and, you know, around the world, different, you know, in Spain and Canada and different, you know, all over the United States. I had no idea this is something that I would be doing without even ever meeting anybody. You and I may never cross paths. That's okay. That's the way life is. But part of my job that my mentor told me was, and this was many, many years ago, she said, you have the skill of communication, and that is one of the things that you are to do to help people understand that these skills are normal, they're natural, and they can be used. And that's what I'm doing with you.
That's fantastic. Do you know in what capacity would I be doing the same type of thing that you're doing, or perhaps
at this? No, I
writing
don't.
Books, you know, through picking up messages as opposed to individual readings? Do you see what way it might go?
No, at this moment I'm not. And I don't think that is something I should be doing with you at this moment. I think it's important for you to question. If you have an opportunity, let's say to go to a psychic fair, or if there's a spiritualist church in your area, or if there are different groups or organizations and trainings and so on and so forth, don't be afraid to have an experience with them.
Right.
And sometimes I've had people, many times I've had people say, oh, I went to so-and-so and I did such-and-such and they were terrible, they were horrible people, I didn't like them. I said, aren't you fortunate? And they just look at me with these great big eyes of shock. They say, oh my goodness, how can you even say that? I said, because if you don't know, if you don't explore, you're not going to know the real from the fake. And you have to be able to see it. That's part of what you're developing.
Exactly.
So if you encounter somebody that after you have some time with them, you go, this person is a real idiot. That's okay. There's a place for them. They have shown you what you do not want to be a part of. You will know. You will gravitate. Trust yourself. Trust yourself.
Right.
Took me a long time. But I learned through interacting with some people, and there were some people that were total phonies. There were other people that had phenomenal talents that were very, very limited in what they were able to do. Others that were not. There were others that just couldn't get out of a certain particular understanding. That was their choice. But it helped me to grow. It helped me to become who I am today. And I'm so grateful for all of them.
That is wonderful. I do understand.
So enjoy the journey, my dear.
Thank you so very much.
You're very welcome, but please don't be afraid.
Pardon?
Please do not be afraid.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you are welcome. And be sure to tell your friends about the show, too.
certainly will.
All right, dear. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you again.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're out of time. Well, I'll have to talk to you about happy people and money some other time, right? Well, join me tomorrow because we're going to be talking about some phenomenal women. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And don't ever forget, you're in this experience because it's time for you to find out about who you are. No matter what age you are, you're never too old to learn. And life is an exciting journey. It's going to have some twists and turns, and I'm not going to say you're going to like them. And sometimes you're going to come close to an edge that you're going to say, I don't like this at all. It's too scary. But, hey, you've got the stuff inside of you to discover who you are so that you can be even greater than you ever dreamed. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be right back here, same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.